Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna take a piss real badly. And the music is working finally. Podcast Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the king of king himself. I am the Hot Rod, and we're back. I'd like to apologize for a couple of things. I'd like to apologize. We were not on the air last week due to technical difficulties, due to cheap ass Blog Talk Radio. But the show
will go
on.
Bite the hand to feed you, right?
Of course.
Okay. And why not? Well, ladies and gentlemen, on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is I, Sean Black, in the building. And I believe on the other end, I thought I heard the one and only.
Hey, it's Anitra B. How
Hello.
Are you guys this evening?
We are still alive. Barely.
So, I'll send you a picture of what I did today. I actually went to work with two different types of sneakers without me realizing it. That's how tired I am, ladies and gentlemen. And no wonder I'm getting
dirty. Do that.
For those that look at wrestling, he pulled a Rick Steiner and wore two different types of shoes. Oh, boy.
How do you do that?
I am tired, okay? Plus, I was hanging out with two buffoons yesterday in Coney Island, drinking and partying.
Oh.
I'm not naming any names.
Oh, whose fault was that?
Exactly. See how he blames it on everybody?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Hot Rod. I am perfect. I am the best in the world. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Now,
oh, Lord.
So perfect
you
can barely stay up.
No. Anitra B, Sean Black, since we did not do it last week, are you ready to twice now to really piss people off?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, first topic of the night. Something's going on in North Carolina that you can't use a bathroom for certain type of people. Sean, this is a one-hour show. We're trying to end this ASAP because, you know, my baby will be crying in my ears in about another 30 minutes. So what is going on in North Carolina?
Okay. North Carolina, as we've all been, we've talked about this before in the last few weeks. This has been going on. A lot of laws are being passed, especially around the Bible Belt and a lot of other areas in the South with these Religious Freedom Restoration Act laws. We talked about one that was in Indiana last year. We talked about the one that was in Georgia, where it's basically being it's law in certain areas where this bill has been passed, where it's supposed to protect the religious integrity of businesses so that they can actually refuse to serve other people based on the freedom of, you know, if you're LGBT, if they are religiously against the act in their minds, they have the right to refuse services, whether it's a store, whether it's meals, whatever it is. It's basically a legal right to discriminate. Well, going back to North Carolina, they passed a bill stating that people that are LGBT that would like to use the restroom can only use a restroom for the sex that they were born under or what is officially on, I guess, their ID or their birth certificate. So if they were born a male but they are in transgendered or they have transitioned to becoming female or vice versa, they would have an issue trying to use the bathroom of the sex that they identify with, as opposed to the sex that they were born under. And this is raising a whole lot of hell out in North Carolina, so much so that a lot of businesses, as just like it was in Georgia, that were going to pull out of the area, same kind of thing is happening in North Carolina. Lots of places like PayPal and a lot of movie companies and of that nature. The NBA has their All-Star game, which is going to be in North Carolina next year. They were threatening to pull out from there. So these are the kinds of things that are happening. I'll throw it to any of you guys to answer. What do you think of this? Is this just another way of discriminating to the LGBT community, or do you think that there is a point, a legitimate point, to making these laws happen in these states?
There's no legitimate point. That's ridiculous. There's no legitimate point. These are just ignorant individuals who refuse to live in today's world. That's all it
is.
People have to realize in today's world, this is what it is. There are people who are gay. There are people who are straight. There are people who are transgender. This is the realization of today's world. Whether or not you like it is irrelevant. That's your opinion. Opinion should not be law.
Now, Hot Rod, I know you're a parent. So the ideal, this is the veiled reasoning behind the actual the bill, is that it is to keep quote-unquote perverts from going into the bathroom and molesting children or having issues with somebody going into the wrong bathroom. What do you think about that?
Well, of course, as a Hot Rod, I have to go on both sides. But I disagree with Nietzsche a little bit. Yes, in the long term, anyone could use the bathroom that they need to use. A bathroom is a bathroom. But now, do you make unisex bathroom? Because we can't figure out what bathroom he or she or it, as we call it sometimes, as a joking way, needs to use the bathroom. Back in high school, we had a teenager boy who always dressed as a girl. I forgot the name. And the question that we always ask, what bathroom does he use if he's dressed as a woman? If you go to a woman's stall and he's standing up facing the toilet, apparently you have a penis, right? Unless you're Nietzsche B, you're very talented in more ways than one. But besides that,
it doesn't even faze me anymore. This is how bad it's gotten.
Yes, I'm noticing.
Yeah,
you've got a very thick skin.
No, I pay attention to very little. When the lips are moving, I hear nothing.
Oh.
Okay. Well, like I was saying,
it's like static air.
So I thought I was rudely interrupted. For a guy to go to a woman's bathroom, to me is a no. I don't care if you were born with a penis, you're a man. If you're born with a vagina, you're a woman. But as you say, Sean, as a parent, I have a daughter now. If I go take her to the woman's, to the man's bathroom, I have to go to a stall. But if my mother, if my girlfriend or wife, whatever you want to call her, want to take her daughter to the bathroom and there's a guy in there, I can't explain to a 3 years old why there's a man in the bathroom, in the woman's bathroom, but this bathroom's for a woman. There's always more questions than answers. And some people, like I didn't just say, are ignorant. They might not tell them the truth about it, or they might go away around it. It's a very uncomfortable feeling. It's more than one. There's also perverts there. You don't know if some guy is not really transgender. He doesn't want to go to the woman's bathroom to get his rocks off. You don't know.
There's perverts now and it's separated.
Yeah.
Stupidity.
Yeah. And there are also other instances where, and I've seen this before, where I'm in the men's bathroom, and then you'll see a parent bring their daughter into the men's bathroom, either because the women's bathroom is either too full, or the father has to go and can't leave the child out until they get out. So then you have to kind of wonder, where does this law start and where does it end? And are there any exceptions involved in the middle of this law? Because it's too broad of a brush to paint, where you're saying that, okay, you have to use the bathroom, but you're basically discriminating against somebody based on the fact that, okay, they are living now as a, let's say, a male living as a female. In all ways, they've gone through the counseling, they've gone through the identity, trying to get through to who they are authentically, and then they find out that this is who they are. So now they are living as what they identify as, and then you're basically telling them, even though you identify as, and there are laws on the docket that allow you to marry somebody that is same sex, you're basically telling them, although you can do that, you're not fully a human because of that, in the eyes of the person that is feeling that they are being discriminated against. So you have both sides of that argument.
Okay, okay. What happened a few weeks ago at Stonewall Bar up in a village? A transgender got raped in a bathroom by a guy. Now, was the guy gay or anything? I don't know the details. I don't know. Nor do I care. That just shows you, no matter what bathroom they use, it's always a problem as a transgender. You know Stonewall is a gay bar. You don't know you're the one of the biggest idiots or you're completely blind. If you go to a gay bar, you don't expect to see all type of people. So that means the bathroom's open to anyone, right? So you see a man dressed as a woman and go to the bathroom, and you go in and rape her, what does that make you?
And I think that's the slippery slope that a lot of people are looking at as far as where does that law start, and if you're going to go through it fully, there can't be any exceptions to that rule, and that's part of the problem. What a lot of people don't realize is that these religious acts that have been, religious restoration acts that have been put in, religious freedom, they've been put into law since 1993 in some instances. So the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is officially what it was called. It was actually put in 1993, and lots of states use it in certain instances. But it hasn't gotten to the full scale of what we see now, because since then we've had 21 states that have their own religious freedom laws and amendments, and 10 other states are actually considering using similar legislation. So they're looking to put it into their own practice and their own variations of it. And what I think is happening is that they're taking those laws, trying to use it for the areas that they're going to govern in, and try to see what works. But they're also looking at all of the backlash that's been going on around the country. As I stated before, we've seen what happened in Indiana with all of the backlash happening with businesses. We saw what happened in Georgia. We're seeing what happened in North Carolina. So there are a lot of different places that are trying to enact some of these laws, but they're all getting lots and lots of backlash. And as we've heard numerous times, the best way to strike against anything that you are opposed to, especially something government-wise, is to hit them in the pocket. And that seems to be the case, because I believe if enough people are against a particular law and they don't go to their congressmen or to their aldermen or some place where they're able to get their opinions heard, then the other way to do that is to hit them where it hurts, which is in their pocket, in their money. And I think that's where we're starting to hear about a lot happening over the last few weeks.
Okay, so to Anitra, if something like this happened in front of my daughter, what do you think is the best way for me to describe to her what's going on inside the bathroom? Or you have a daughter, you took her to the bathroom, she's like, Auntie Anitra, what is that? Why there's a guy in here? Why he's wearing bras and panties?
You mean to explain to her why a guy is in the same room?
Yes.
Going to the bathroom, going to a different stall?
Yes.
Just they're using the potty just like we did. You don't need to get into specifics.
Yeah, but this is
Yeah, I understand that, but you also understand a lot of these places are doing it to where a lot of them have also done this already. Have you ever noticed that when you go to a restaurant and you see the single bathrooms, that there's no men's and women's, they're both unisex?
Unisex. Yeah, but we're talking about down south with it. Well, this is up here. We know a little bit better. This is down south area where there's still racism and sexism still strong down there. So how do you explain that to those people down there?
Like you explain to anybody up here, they need to be educated properly. People are what I don't understand is a lot of people are saying, oh, the kid is too young to know what transgender is. There's no such thing as too young. You want to educate them at a young age. You want to explain to them at a young age what all this is. So they, as they become young adults, going to be becoming teenagers, they know what it is, and they don't develop this these ridiculous ideas that all these people have, and that fear would no longer be there.
And that's
that
has definitely has become an issue with now some of the instances that we've seen that we wonder, how many times have we talked about it on our show? It's like, well, what is the right age to talk to a child about anything in particular?
As young as they start learning. I've been around homosexuality my entire life. I was asking questions when I was a toddler, and I got my questions answered. And as I grew into an adult, I knew what it was. There was no backlash. And whenever I heard someone on the street say something negative when I was a teenager, I knew better because I was educated properly. There's no age limit. You start educating the children immediately.
Well, a lot of people right now would disagree with you with those two statements you just said, Anitra. Number one, you're still a brat. Number one, you're still a brat. And number two, who are you to tell me when to talk to my child about sex, transgender, gay, lesbian? You are not the parent of my children. I'm the parent. So I decide when is right.
But you're not going to decide that. That's the point. By the time your child is in third grade, they will have had a sex education class. They will know what a picture of a penis is and a picture of a vagina is by the time they're in the third or fourth grade. So realistically, you don't make those decisions.
And the only way that those decisions can be made is basically going to the school and finding out what the curriculum is at certain schools at certain ages.
But they are taught these things at that young age.
Yeah.
You know, and it surprises me when parents don't want their kids to be educated about these things. Like, to me, that's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Why would you not want your child to know? I mean, these are not dirty things. These are not bad things. You know what I mean?
But I will agree with Hot Rod on one thing, and that is the fact that it should be the parent's decision of when to teach the child that. But at the same time, the parent should know if the child is ready for it. I would think the child would probably be the parent would be the better idea, would have the better idea to knowing if the child is ready for that kind of explanation. Not to say that you have to hold off on it for, you know, until a certain age, but if you know your child, at some point, you're going to have to teach your child about that because, as we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years, things have changed generally throughout the country. And,
but realistically, what's the right age?
And that, I believe, the only time that you can find that quote-unquote right age is the parent. Because would know, based on how they interact with the child, or
kids lose their virginity between the ages of 12 to 15. Anitra,
you said by third grade they learn about penises and vaginas. That's not the topic we're talking about. We're talking about when's the right time to talk to about male on male companion, female on female, or when's okay if the person is very confused. Like, remember back then we talked about a child that had operation when become a woman, but we allowed, that was the parent's decision. The boy said he wanted to become a girl. He became a process of becoming a girl. I think the name was Kim or something like that.
I think the one you're talking about, the one that had the reality show, I think her name was Jazz something.
Jazz. I want to be Jazz. And there was a lot about that and criticism. Like, the child's too young to know these things. How do we know? We would never know these things.
Exactly.
K-Dog is on the air. K-Dog, I know you have a lot to say. Hell yeah, we don't have all night.
Hey, I know I don't have all night. However, this is a 30-minute show. Well, anyway, all I got to say is that, but first let me start off by saying, how's everybody doing? What's up, everybody?
Hey,
everybody. Well, all I got to say about the matter is that When it comes to children, you have to also remember something. What about same-sex parents? That's the one thing you got to remember.
That's true.
You know, same-sex parents, when you have parents of the same sex who adopt a child, I mean, the confusion doesn't begin because some, as a matter of fact, children who come from same-sex parents live perfectly normal childhoods.
Exactly.
They live a perfectly normal childhood. So it's not a problem. But, however, unfortunately, like I said before, you have the two biggest extremes, religion and politics. Now, according to that, when it comes to religion, many people are opposed to this. Many people are opposed to the whole LGBT community altogether, which is why now, especially with what's going on in North Carolina, from what I've read from various media reports, they say that North Carolina may never see a celebrity again because a lot of people are against this ruling. They're against it. And many from the entertainment industry and even PayPal withdrew like 400 jobs from the state. And a lot of people are talking about it.
Exactly.
So, guys, you know, I'm go ahead.
No, I'm happy that you brought the point about the two parent thing. But I know that'd be another topic, but that's a long discussion.
Yeah.
Anisha and I talk about this all the time. There's nothing wrong with two mothers, two fathers, as long as they don't encourage that child to become gay or lesbian. Let that child on their own, you know, make that decision of who he or she wants to be.
The child is not going to become gay or a lesbian because, like I said, many of these children live perfectly normal lives. It's just the way society views them.
But what happened in school, you being bullied. Oh, Sean, you got two daddies. I saw them kissing outside underneath the tree.
And that's the problem. And that's a problem.
That's going to happen regardless.
It is.
Kids will find a reason to pick on you for whatever reason. You could have your nose could be too big, your eyes are too big.
You wear glasses.
Exactly. They'll find something to pick on you about. But
kids
see,
like
as
that.
We've all seen, we know children can be very, very vicious.
Exactly.
And it doesn't make a difference what it's about. They'll find something to pick on, and then they'll run it into the ground. Now, it's a matter, I believe, as we've said before, the ultimate power comes down to the parent. The parent has to be able to let it, getting to your question earlier, Hot Rod, of saying the parent has to be able to be the one to do the explaining, and the parent would know on some level with some with the way they raise the child, knowing something about that child's behavior, and it's the child's level of maturity of when to address these kinds of things. And I think that's what the issue is.
And the parent would have to explain it to the child in a way that the child would understand. But I say this, when a child is like maybe 12 or 13 and they're learning more, that's the time to explain it to them.
No, younger. You're wrong. Younger. By the time the child is 12, 13, there's a good chance they're probably already having sex.
Well, the thing is, when a child has a better understanding about it, that's what I mean to say, Anitra. When the child has
a better understanding. Yeah, but they're never going to have a better understanding about it. You need to educate them immediately.
No,
that's how they will get the understanding.
I was about to get to that point. I was about to get to that point of understanding. I was about to get to that point where parents should explain to them what life is. This is the thing that's going on now. This is what's going on in the world now. Now, the thing is, for a child to understand it, and it is also up to the child to accept it. You know? That's the whole thing. But like I said, and I had to bring it up about the same-sex parent, because like I said, children are going to accept anything when it comes to that, especially when it comes to the love that parents have for their children. It's very deep. It's a very deep subject.
Yeah. And I think, go ahead.
No, what do you think?
I personally believe that it's going to be in essence is going to be the parents. It has to be on the parents' say so. Now I understand where Nitra is coming from the standpoint of the stimulus from being outside the house, from being in school, being in the park with other kids, and they're coming from different backgrounds. The child is going to be introduced to things that they probably the parent was not ready to teach the child. So
right.
I think from Anitra, where she's coming from is to prepare the child just in case.
Exactly.
My thought process is not to say to keep the child ignorant about a particular topic, but at the same time, you also want to make sure that, one, you as a parent are comfortable enough to talk about the situation, be informed enough as a parent to explain it with enough understanding so that it doesn't frighten the child, and two, is the child strong enough to be able to understand and appreciate where you're coming from in explaining that topic? Because children want to learn stuff from their parents. They want to know pretty much everything. Why is the sky blue? Why is the bumblebee yellow?
And
they
want to
know
curious.
All of these things.
But that's a key thing that you just mentioned right there, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you want to explain your child everything.
But yet at the same time.
Why? Until you don't know the answer anymore to that why.
Mm-hmm.
Why the guy is blue? Because God made it that way. Why did God make it that way? Because God is trying to piss me off. Why did God piss you off? I don't know anymore.
And here's the thing. When I was young, I used to ask my mother a ton of things. And if there was something that my mother didn't understand, and this is the one thing that I really love about my mother, is that if I didn't know it and she didn't know it, she would tell me, you know what, I don't know. So why don't we just go to the library and we'll look something up? And we would go to the library and we would go ahead and find out, well, what's this and why is that? Look things up.
I'm sorry, Sean Black, what is a library?
Oh, of course. I keep forgetting. People in this day and age don't know what a library is anymore. You know, the place where you get information and read books. You know, the thing, you know, the physical things that you use that taking place that used to be the internet now. That was the internet back then.
Well, there's a computer and the internet in the library, too.
Okay, on to the next subject. There's a shooting that happened up in Chicago. Yes, another black teen shooting. Well, this one's a little bit different this time. Sean Black, I'm giving you 5 minutes to describe what happened in Chicago.
Yes, and I won't even need 5 minutes. Basically, what happened was last week there was a shooting in Chicago, as you just stated, a 16-year-old kid who apparently pulled out a gun and pointed it towards a cop. Now, there's a video on YouTube of the situation happening where this 16-year-old, the teenager's name is, I just had it in front of me, Pierre Lowry, that's his name. He apparently was shot in the chest scaling over a fence, getting away from the cops, and he was later pronounced dead at the hospital. And the parents of the teen, they say they want justice. They think it was wrong. He should have never been killed. He's never been a violent person. He's never had guns. He's never did this. He's never done that.
Okay. Sorry to cut you off, Sean. Two things. Those are the things I hate to hear the most from people. He was a nice kid. He never had a gun. But wasn't there a picture of him holding a gun on social media?
Yes.
Wasn't he a part of a gang in Chicago?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he had the gang logo tattooed on his throat in the picture with the gun in his hand.
Oh, man.
There are more than one picture on, I believe he had it on his Facebook page.
Oh, man.
He was posing with guns, and he has, I believe, the gang logo or initials on his throat. Now, he was a quote-unquote, he was an aspiring rapper. His parents basically saying he's never done anything wrong. He was part of the Christian Academy, which is like a Sunday school to help out other kids. And that, he was part of all of this stuff. But
yeah,
the
sure.
mother is turning a blind eye to the fact that he has all of this stuff out there on social media, posing with guns and everything. Now,
this is where strict parenting needs to come in. I'm sorry.
Now, the thing that turned me, that's kind of turning the whole entire internet off of craziness about this is that we know the Black Lives Matter movement took up for this. And
yeah.
in Chicago, they staged a lot of, you know, protests and cut off streets and the whole nine, and we need justice for Pierre, and, you know, over 100 people gathered at his wake, and
okay.
they disrupted traffic. This is the thing. We've gone into an area where when we look at particular racial things, we know Chicago is full of this stuff.
Yes,
but
it is.
Here's the problem. When the parents of a teenager who, as I've just described, all of the things that have happened have brought this up, where does the awareness for a kid who should not have been killed, and in all reality, no 16-year-old deserves to die. But at the same time, based on all of the stuff that I just explained, when the police officer actually did their job, then the same hatred comes out because he's black. Where does the justice part start, and where does the activism begin? And that's the issue.
Okay, I don't know this kid, and I will never know this kid. I'm not calling him a thug. You know, most media people like to call a black guy with a gun on gang member a thug.
Yeah.
I don't know this person. But, once again, if you're young, you're black, in America, and you have a gun for whatever reason, and you have it in front of police presence, you're dead. No ifs, ands, or buts. Is it right? No. But does it happen? Unfortunately, yes. So what would possess me to carry a gun and show up on social media and I pull a gun in front of the cops, knowing that police are trained to shoot to kill first, then ask questions later? So where does this riot and protesting come in? Was he armed? Yes. Was he part of a gang member? Yes. What do we know what he was doing with the gun? No. We may never know, but how can someone tell me that he gone to church, he's a Christian boy, but he's carrying a gun, and he's a gang member? To me, is that oxymoron?
And especially in a city where you know this kind of stuff is epidemic. We know that we've heard tons of things happening in Chicago with young youth. We already know about the Laquan McDonald story. So we've seen that. And there are tons of Laquan McDonald stories that have happened in Chicago. And this is one of those stories where I'm not saying that anybody deserves to die, but based on the actions of what happened, and I'm sure there's going to be more and more details that will come out, but there's a lot of emotional stuff that's happening, and it's going to split everything racially even more so, which is going to make the whole situation that much worse.
Okay, so Nisha B, if Pierre, I'm sorry, what's his last name, Pierre who?
His name is Pierre Lowry.
If Pierre Lowry was a Caucasian male, would the same thing would have happened? Would he be shot, killed, Nisha B?
He was carrying a gun, yes. Cops shoot first, ask questions later. It's just a fact.
I will talk on Milton S. behalf. He would say no, they would not have shot him, killed, because he's white.
He would be wrong.
The white people
there's
have
been,
white people.
There's
white,
been
white
plenty of news media where they've done it to all kinds of colored kids. They cops shoot first and ask questions later. It's their training. I mean, that's my opinion. I don't think the color of his skin had anything to do with it. I think it was the fact that he was a gang member holding a gun. An armed gang member.
All I gotta say is about this whole shooting is that it's a tragedy that someone loses their child. But in the case of a police shooting, just remember something. We live here in the United States. Now, when it comes to young black youths who are armed, 9 times out of 10, they're shot and killed by the police officers. And I have to say this, but had it been white, it would have been a different story. They would have apprehended him because there have been plenty of whites who had guns, and the police, and they're still alive to tell their story. But unfortunately, when it comes to the black youth, we've seen this happen many a times. Should a black person pull out a gun on a cop? No. But at the same time, there's different tactics that the police officers can use to spare someone's life. That's my opinion on it.
Well, you know what? For once, I have to agree with K-Dog. Yes, race had to do with this because it was a Caucasian person. That there's a 50-50 chance that person will be alive. But there have been many times that there have been active white Caucasian guys had done active shooting, had killed people like the church, like Connecticut, or was it Sandy Hook? They're still alive.
Yeah.
That Colorado shooting, that guy's still alive. And we still have both black people who are dead right now. Go ahead, Anitra.
Can I ask you something? Would it have been mattered to you guys if the cop was black?
Oh, black cops have shot black people too.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't think it's. I think it's just the fact that he was a gang member.
Well, you know what? The law.
Gang member.
But the justice system in this country, you know, when it comes to that, when it comes to police shootings of blacks, whether they are armed or unarmed, it all comes out with the same outcome. They're dead. You know, they're not wounded. They're not shot in the leg.
Yeah. And that's what they're trained to do.
Cops are not trained to wound. Cops are trained to shoot to kill.
No,
cops
police.
Are not trained
no,
to
no, not
police
not really.
When they're trained, because I've had a family member who was a police officer, and they're trained. You're supposed to shoot to maim, not to kill. You're trained to shoot to disarm. What we're seeing now today, because of whether it's the area, whether it's the police officer in a neighborhood that they're not familiar with, or just plain fear of the youth or fear of that particular race.
And
what they're doing
is?
Now is shoot to protect themselves.
Exactly.
That seems to be what we're seeing a lot more often than anything else. Because my personal opinion is if, like you just stated, if this was a Caucasian, they would have shot him in his legs.
They would have shot him
in his arm. They would have shot him enough to get him off the fence and then arrest him, unless he was aiming to shoot and kill a cop. And that's the thing. We've seen way too many films, way too many, you know, people with cell phone video recording these kinds of incidences that happen, and either parts of it are missing or there's more than one angle, and we see what happens in various situations. And I don't think this outcome, just this particular outcome, would have been any different. Because just based on the proximity of how close he was to the police officer and the fact that he's brandishing the gun, let's be honest, he probably would have been killed, like Anitra stated, white or black.
But exactly.
Way too many times than not, that's usually not the case. And I think that's the issue. And now when we're starting to hear more about the story and hear more about the person in general, it's not necessarily about character assassination, so to speak, where we denigrate the victim to make it look good for the police officer that went and quote-unquote killed a 16-year-old. We have to find out why this shooting was quote-unquote justified. And I think that has to take place over an amount of time when they do the investigation. But the problem with that is in the city of Chicago, throughout the entire state of Illinois, where African-Americans are being killed by police and being in situations where this is being the case, that is going to make it even harder to determine what the motives and what happened throughout the whole story was.
Oh, you didn't hear that, did you?
We heard it loud and clear, Hot Rod.
Excuse me. Okay, on to the primary elections now, folks. It's happening right now in New York, and tomorrow is the big primary election day. Are you three guys going out to vote tomorrow, or are you like me, don't really give a damn?
I'm voting, and as I stated to a friend of mine, I am voting at 6 in the morning. As I always, when I go to vote, I get up early. I want to get there and leave as quickly as I can. Because
I'm going to vote after work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to vote because, listen, all I could say is this. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Y'all could call me whatever you want. But I owe it to those who gave their lives for the rights to vote, and I owe it to them to get out there and vote.
Yes. It is basically your civic duty to get out there and
it
vote.
Is. Because it's either you're part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And when the wrong politician gets in there, that's when people want to complain and say, oh, this is wrong, this is wrong. Did you get out and vote? No. Then keep your mouth shut.
Exactly. If you don't vote, you have no say-so in the result
of
what happens.
Exactly.
So I will get out there at 6 in the morning, and I will vote, and we'll find out what happens.
Yep, I'm doing the same thing. I will be out there tomorrow morning on my way to work.
Yes.
I'll be out there tomorrow. I'll be out there tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, I, the Hot Rod, don't give a damn about politics. I don't care about voting. One person I am supporting, I cannot mention his name, Trump! Let's go, Trump! I just want to tell a quick story that yesterday, Sean Black and Nisha B and I was in Coney Island, and there was a Bernie Sanders, supporter. And, of course, me and my smart mouth, I said, let's go, Trump! The dirty I got from people like, no, this black guy did not say, let's go Trump. Now, once again, was I wrong to say my freedom of speech or my opinion of saying let's go Trump?
Of course you weren't wrong. Because if that's how you really truly feel,
it's your
then
American
speak
life.
Your mind. That's how you, that's the best part about being in this country is that you can say what you feel.
Whatever the hell you want.
Without the fear of reprisal from the government. The issue is, though, as I've stated to you before, when you do say something, you have to be ready for the consequences of what you say. Because if you do say something in the wrong area to the wrong person at the wrong time, you might get, you know, what's happening at the Donald Trump rallies, which is a lot of craziness going on. So you just have to be on your P's and Q's, so to speak.
I don't give a damn. Overall, me personally, ladies and gentlemen, all politics are mostly the same. Yes, go out there and vote. It is your right. Women, minorities, especially, go out and vote. Go out there and vote because it is your given right. People have died for it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, politics and voting system is not what it used to be anymore. To me, it's more of a gimmick now. Like, for me, I'm not going to vote tomorrow because I really don't give a damn. I will vote in a presidential election because it's my right. But either or, I don't care who's running for office because to me, most of them are just rich, crappy politicians. There's some people that's trying to do good for the, you know, for the sake of this country and for the sake of the city. But you have a lot of people that are doing bad. We have a bunch of parties that can't get along with each other. All these politicians are doing this. Pointing fingers at one another. I'm not hearing any solution. Bernie Sanders, great guy. Hillary, she have a good point. Trump, even he have a very quiet lately in his campaign.
I wonder why.
So once again, this is all a game. That's all I want to preach out to people. I'm not telling you who to vote for. Trump! Vote who you want. Trump! Is your God-given right. Trump! Just remember, he's going to build that wall for us. Okay.
It sounds like you have hoof and mouth disease. I keep hearing you coughing up Trump.
No.
You're cute.
I want them to tell you guys to vote for Trump. No. A racist guy like him or a bigot? No. Like myself? No. Vote for Trump. Well, on to the next question. Sean Black.
Yes.
Last week, an NBA season finale. What do you think was the biggest night in history? Like, what do you think was the biggest point of the NBA? The Golden State Warriors reaching a record of 73 wins and 9 losses, or the crappy guy that can't stand, Kobe Bryant, final game, and he scored 60 points.
Well, I saw both games, so I will actually say only if the Warriors win it all this year, then the bigger moment will probably be the Warriors, because I can't see another team beating the Warriors. Winning 73 games is ridiculous, because
wow,
nobody thought that the Bulls would have done 70. They did 72. For somebody
yes,
to beat the
did.
Warriors, they would have to lose no more than 7 games. That is
exactly
not going to happen again in our lifetime. Kobe Bryant going out with 60 points in a game that almost played like a playoff game, that was sensational. But I firmly believe that just the way it went, 73 wins is absolutely ridiculous. That's like
yeah,
video game type stuff.
Okay, K-Don, what do you think was a bigger night? Golden State or Kobe?
The bigger night? Well, I did watch the Golden State Warriors game, and it was phenomenal. And as for Kobe, he played a decent game. I mean, at the fourth quarter, that's all I got to say. Sean Black, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, he did take 50 shots or 45
yeah, he did
shots.
Take that.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah, so that's all I got to say is that, you know, the Golden State Warriors, in my opinion.
Okay. And Anisha B, I know you don't care about NBA too much. Do you give Kobe Bryant respect now that he's retiring from the NBA?
Yeah, but I still don't care.
That's how you really feel.
I mean, I did catch parts of the game, you know, but I don't care.
I
was honestly,
okay,
I was more interested. I was watching the Bill Maher show,
yeah,
and that's what caught my eye. I was flickering. A commercial came on, so I saw the flickering, and then I clicked the Bill Maher show, and he's like hilarious. So
yeah,
I kind of just started watching him.
Yeah.
Oh, you hear that? You hear that?
All right.
She didn't support the black man on TV. She said she went to another network to support the white man. Typical Anisha B.
Bill
Maher is very liberal.
Yeah.
Bill
Maher
is very
liberal. Bill Maher
is very liberal. Okay. All right, Anisha B, if you go on a date with a guy, in this crazy generation, who should pick up the tab first? The guy or the girl, or should be split?
No, him.
Why?
Because it's a date. You want a woman when it's – no, you're not buddies, okay? You're not two friends hanging out. It is a date, which means a man should be a gentleman. And
yeah,
show some sort of old school value, something.
Me, I don't mind paying the bill.
Hold on one second. That's the key thing Anisha B said. Old school value. Us guys, I can speak for us, yes, we agree. But these young kids today, they don't do that.
I know. Sad.
If I take a woman out, paying for it.
Mm.
Yeah, should be gone. But if I take a woman out and I pay for it, that woman might think, oh, since the high rock pay for the cheap Starbucks date, I got to sleep with him right now. Like,
he's expecting something.
No. In return, yes. Go ahead, K-Dog.
For me, I don't mind paying the bill. It's not a problem because you know what? Hey, I am taking her out, and it is my treat. There, I said it.
Okay.
And also, here's the other thing. I don't even have an issue if it's the other way around because, as you just stated, we're in a completely different time period, completely different mindset. So although we've grown up with the male going out and paying for the bill, paying for the check, paying for the meal, paying for everything else, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing wrong with the fact that if that was the case and the woman wanted to do the exact same thing,
no,
the male can accept that as well.
Oh, no,
I wouldn't have an issue with
that. Fine. I'm
that
talking, no, the
fine.
Only thing that bothers me is the initial first date. If you don't
that,
have old
about
values,
yeah,
and
oh, the first
you
date,
look,
yeah,
stare at the check,
mm,
oh, then A, you're tacky as hell, and B, we are never seeing each other ever again.
But some people will argue, it depends if, let's say, if the girl, if Anisha asked Sean out, maybe Anisha should pay for that date, because technically speaking, Anisha asked Sean out on that date.
Yeah, I don't
know.
No, it's never going to happen.
Of course not. Mm. Of course not. You're too busy every night with some other guy.
No, it's because at the end of the day, I want a man. Like, you want a man. You don't want a little boy. You don't want someone that needs some, you know, their hand to be held.
Mm.
You want someone
no.
that is perfectly able of taking care of himself. And it's true. When you see a man who still opens the door for you and will pick up the check for the first date, that does say something.
So it's all about chivalry is still not dead, thank God.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's lost on a lot of people today because we're so, as a society, much more open where, you know, the male is getting the flowers and the male buys the candy and the male. And there are some times when the male was like, well, how come you don't do it? How come you don't buy me flowers? How come you don't do such and such?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's perfectly fine. I've done it. I've spoiled crap out of my exes. But at the end of the day, a woman still wants to be treated like a lady.
Oh, true.
No, but it's all good.
I'm sorry. Anita never bought me anything. What about you, Sean Black? Did she buy you anything?
Well, we need to treat you like a lady, too? I didn't know that was
really
a requirement.
But I'm saying that, you know, going on a date, that's really what a woman's looking for.
Mm.
Is that, you know, you want to know that that's still out there.
Yeah. How about the next time we all go out, we get hot rods and flowers? How about that?
Apparently we have to, because apparently he has a vagina now.
Yes. And so that means I'm going to the woman's bathroom now, right?
Oh, Lord.
What is your final thought tonight?
My final thought, go and vote. Tomorrow is the primary.
I think K-Dog.
There you go.
Okay,
well,
fine.
I'll
remember that.
My final thought of the day is everybody should just accept who somebody is, no matter what. And second, let's all pray for that young man's family. And third, get out there and rock the vote, damn it. Go out there and vote. It's your right.
And it should be your cheap first date. What is your final thought?
Shut up, a-hole.
Oh,
and yes, I agree. Tomorrow, go out there and vote. Do it. Put your ballot out there. Put the person who you want to see on that ticket. Vote.
Yes.
Okay. All righty then. Wow. Interesting night. We covered a lot of topics tonight. Next week's show will be either Sunday or Monday. No, it has to be next Monday night. Next Sunday I'm busy again. Oh, gosh.
You can't do the show on Sunday.
I know.
Yeah, definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to once again apologize like I do every week for this mix-up that keeps happening. I have a family now, and they all drive me crazy, so my schedule is very up in the air. We try to do the show as much as we can. Like right now, I'm doing the show live in the bathroom, talking to you guys. So this is what I think about Nature Final Thought. I was flushed down the toilet. Ooh, it kind of sticks in here, too. But for the mother, we also have a Mother's Day show coming up. I want to talk about the single mothers out there in the next few shows. Why I don't believe in single mothers. Why it's being rated way blown out of proportion. And I know Sean Black will fight with me about this, but he has a single mother. And Anisha B is a single mother. And me, I'm a single mother ever. But besides that, let's keep that in mind. We're going to talk about that topic in a couple of weeks for a Mother's Day show. Other than that, that is my final thought of the day. K-Dog, Sean Black, Anisha B, thank you once again for the Tonight Show. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Willie Moe, the King of King himself, the Hot Rod with
Sean Black and
Anisha B.
And you know what? K-Dog, you can say goodnight too.
And special guest, the K-Dog. Signing off.
And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.
Yours.
All right, fellas. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Later, guys.
Should I take a dump right now? I feel like taking a dump right now since I'm in the bathroom.
Stop eating that
chicken.
Enjoy.
Guys, good night.
Good night.